It's good to see everyone this evening coming back for Bible class. And anyways, to help set the scene of a Bible class, I brought the whiteboard up here. I really don't know if I'm going to use it yet, but we'll see. This way you know it's a Bible class, not a lecture. Of course, lectures can be on whiteboard as well, so should have thought that one through. I would like to turn to Acts chapter 22, though. Acts chapter 22, verse 3. Acts chapter 22, verse 3, just to start us off. We can actually start, I guess let me ask if y'all know what is happening in Acts chapter 22. Probably started in Acts chapter 21. Go ahead.
So this is whenever Paul is coming to Jerusalem for the last time, and there were some Jews who thought he brought in Trophimus into the temple, and so then they drug him out of the temple, closed the doors, and the Romans, they came and they took Paul from the Jews because they were about to rip him to pieces, and so now he's getting taken up these castle stairs.
Right, exactly right. So the Jews, if you did not hear, the Jews are very upset with Paul being in Jerusalem. They're falsely accusing him for things in the temple, and they're about to tear him up, literally, probably limb for limb. They mean him no goodwill at all. And the Roman soldiers see the commotion, and they take Paul, and they're to get him to safety, they're taking him up some staircases, right? So he is up high, and now all of the Jews that were attacking him are down low, and he's about to say this speech, okay? So if we start in verse 1 and go through verse 3, would be good. Anybody?
Brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense which I make now unto you. When they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day.
Okay, we see several things here, okay? The first one is that he spoke in a certain language. What language was that?
Hebrew.
Was Hebrew the common language at the time? The answer is no. The answer is no. In fact, we know that it was probably Greek, right? Right? Because the thing that we're told when Jesus would come in his perfect time, it was amazing how the Greeks universally unified the world with a language, right, in their conquest. And then the Romans unified the world, right, in their roadways, okay? So it made it really easy to spread the message, okay? It made it really easy to spread the message of Christ. It was perfect timing that Jesus came at this time, okay? Now he's dead, he's been risen, now we have the apostles, Paul of which is one. Out of due season? Is that how they say that? Yeah? Okay. So here he speaks in Hebrew. Okay. And what happened when he spoke in Hebrew? The people paid attention. Okay. Because they knew it was a language that not everyone knows except for probably the Jews. Okay. And then he explains what to them. How did he know Hebrew? How did he know this stuff? Was this a miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit like what we see in Acts chapter 2? He was a Jew, raised by a Jew, taught by Gamaliel, right? Did that stuff matter? It did, okay? So, my topic tonight, let me read it to you, because I like to read it to you, because sometimes I don't portray it properly. Let's see here. And I may have written it down this time. Let's see if I wrote it down. I did. Increasing our preparation for the new school year. Okay, that's the topic. Okay, so here we see this man flaunting his education to the people that care about it, right? This is a good thing. It's important to be educated. Okay, not only was he educated in proper Hebrew language and doctrine, but he also apparently was taught on how to speak to people. Because look at what else he did in verse 3. What does he do in the closing of verse 3? Finds comment. He gives them a compliment too, right? Says they're what?
Zealous.
Okay? What do we know that Paul was doing in Acts chapter 9 and 8? He's being pretty zealous, wasn't he? Tearing people apart, wasn't he? Or at least holding the cloaks of people that were, right? So, found the common ground, gave him a compliment. One of the things that I was taught at Angelo State when taking a speech class, which I didn't really understand why I had to take a speech class. It wasn't very business-like, but at the same time it was, because it points out things like that, finding common ground, giving a compliment when you're giving instructive speech to someone that maybe needs discipline, okay? So parents, as we're disciplining kids, you know, on the backswing or whatever, be sure you give a compliment. But that's real. Education's important. So
it's also relation. It's purely forcing a responsible dialogue, bringing them in, saying, "I'm like you.
Yeah.
You're like me." And that kind of entices the audience to listen, not just the cultural language barriers. To be able to do that. If you go into missionary work or into Mexico and you don't speak Spanish, there's a great...
Yeah, I don't know how much we'd care if he spoke Hebrew right here at this pulpit. We wouldn't even know what he's saying. This guy's vain babbling up here, you know. But the same, you know, that's very true. Very true. Okay, so being educated has a purpose. It's very good to know where you're going, who you're speaking with, okay? The importance of education is sometimes not always relayed because we're like, well, when am I ever going to use... you know, this pi r squared baloney stuff, or a squared plus b squared equals c squared. Well, guess what? I just used it like last week. Okay, the Pythagorean theorem. I'm building a shed. You want it to be square, but you don't have a tape measure long enough. Okay, so what do? You find a squared plus b squared equals c squared. And that way you make sure that you have a right angle. Right, Paul? Paul's an aeronautical engineer. He had to learn a lot of math, I'm sure. Right?
A little bit.
So... you know, I won't ever use his math, but I used that math, okay? That stuff that everyone talks about in geometry and algebra. When am I ever going to use this? You will. It'll happen, okay? Also, roof slopes is a big one, too. So, I have some handouts. I have these two Freisinger boys on the end going to pass out. And they're for adults and kids, okay? I want you to really think about these things, even if you don't have children in your home. Okay, because grandparents can also help in this regards, all right? And some of them are just open-ended questions, okay, that I'm going to ask here. Please write them down. If we need more, I'll recruit Lindsay because she knows how to work that copy machine to make a double-sided piece of paper, but hopefully I've got enough for everyone, okay? As they're doing that, the first question, I'll read it to you. What is the purpose of school? And here I can use the whiteboard here. We can write down some ideas because I don't know that there is necessarily a wrong idea, a wrong reason for school. Okay, it's kind of a perspective thing. So what is a reason why we have school?
To educate.
That's pretty blanket. Okay. Educate you in underwater basket weaving.
Reading, writing, arithmetic.
Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Yes, sir, Gage. To prepare. Okay, you can write these down on your cool little piece of paper you got.
Well, if subjects like math and science, language and social studies, such was, if that was intuitive, then you wouldn't need it.
If we just miraculously had it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got you. Ben?
You speak the language, but you're going to learn how to write the language.
That's right. Ben? Babysitting. Got it. For the parents that need to go to work. I get it. Just remember that. Those who are like 17 and 18 being seniors, you're just there because mom and dad need a babysitter. Okay, Miss Anna. Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to put social contact here. Okay. This isn't just public school, private school. This is homeschool too. Okay. So I want to hear everything. Is there anything else as to why we have school? What is the purpose of school? Regardless of what, yes, ma'am, Jamie.
Logical reasoning.
Ooh. Yeah. 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 Okay. Let's see. Develop. Let's say problem solving. How about that? Logical, deductive, whatever we want to put in there. I mean, that encompasses a whole lot right there. Is there anything else? Discipline. Remember, the backswing, give a compliment. Discipline. Very good. Very good. Okay. Respect. Okay. Respect for others. Accountability. We can make this list keep going, but I'm running out of space. So that's going to be the end of me writing it down. There you go. All right. So now the next question is, what do you do to prepare for school? Whether that is preparing for your homeschool class the next morning, or your public school, or your private school, or whatever it may be. This is schooling more than it is school. Okay, it could be that you're going to an electrical school out here at Howard College, and it's mainly learning how to be an electrician, learning how to be an apprentice electrician. Could be another trade school, whatever it may be. So what do you do to prepare for the upcoming schooling that you're going to have? Get the supplies, okay? Acquire supplies, okay? What else?
Study,
and then Ben had his hand up. What you got, Ben? Yes. Yep. Get a routine going. Get a sleeping routine. Because I don't know about the rest of y'all, but my kids have really stretched bedtime into something that doesn't exist anymore. Yes, sir, Gage.
Get my uniform laid out.
Get your clothes ready. Yeah, get your stuff ready. Okay, what about teachers? Teachers, what do y'all do to prepare? Oh, I'm sorry. What was your...
You have to get into the learning mindset.
Get to the right mindset, okay? Yeah, it's time. Summer's over. It's time to learn something. Okay, what about teachers? Teachers in here, I know there's a few. What do y'all do? Yes, ma'am, Anna. Yeah, syllabus, okay? Prep, lesson plan, prep, right? My mom used to be a kindergarten teacher. Guess what kindergarten teachers had to do every summer in Dripping Springs because they made them tear it all down to clean the classrooms? Decorate. Guess who got dragged up there as a 5-year-old? Okay?
Cost.
The cost of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it cost me a lot. No, no, I'm kidding. Yeah. No, and it's expensive. Expensive. The state doesn't support as much as they probably could. But we got a lot of people in the government that have to get supported, I guess. People that, I don't know what they do.
Chad, I think a good one is because it goes to the Bible stuff. Know your clientele.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. For the, yeah, right here, right? For your audience. Okay, and this is why I'm doing this up here, because I have people as old as some people and as young as other people, right? And I don't look at anybody, because if I look at people, then they think I'm talking about them being the old person in the room. So I don't. I just kind of drift. So anyways, I have to be able to cover all types. But if I was just speaking to an adult class, would I probably list these out quite as much? No. Okay. All right. Okay, so very good. Looks like y'all know how to prepare for school time, okay? The only things that I kind of missed that I had that I wouldn't say y'all missed, but maybe you're lumped into one is getting your food for lunches, okay? And then in our house, we make the kids clean their rooms and have it all ready so that there's not a, you know, sometimes learning in a mess is very difficult, right? So did anyone not get a piece of paper that needs one? Just that row. Okay. That was sacrificial, right? They're the ones handing it out, and they're the last ones to be served. Very good. And then teachers have to go to, like, teacher orientation or in-service or whatever. My brother is 2 weeks before school actually starts. He's been teaching for 20 years. Like, what? That's a lot of extra time devoted, and he's taught the exact same course for 20 years. So, I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy, but it is what it is. My brother puts it as that sometimes it's the administration's way to see who's really devoted and who's going to quit. You know, I don't know. Maybe so. That's what two-a-days used to be, but I don't know. All right. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. If you look at your questions, this kind of gets us off a little bit of the physical preparations that we do, okay, and into something else. So let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, okay? And I would like someone to volunteer to read, please. Gage, you're going to read this? Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16.
I'm reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16.
Henceforth.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A
That's good. Perfect. Thank you. All right. So now let's look back at question number two. Okay. What should we include in that preparing for school or schooling with this verse here in mind? This may be a question more for our older folks who have lived through school and know some of the things that go with being at school when you're trying to live right. Okay. What should we add to that, maybe, in that preparation? Okay, how would you do that? I'm sorry? Stand for what's right, yeah? How do you know what's right? I'm going to keep leading you because I want it to be a certain thing. It's fun.
Studying.
Studying so that we can stand up for what's right. Okay? To stand for right, okay? So, why is that? Why? What would we be like as Christians if we're amongst these peers, whether it's on field trips with our homeschool group out at the corn maze and pumpkin patch, because I know that there's some that go out there, it's a big homeschool day, or whether it's meeting in the classroom, or whether it's walking to down the mall of ASU to your next class on campus, okay, or wherever it may be, okay, what does that mean if we're not ready to stand up? Are we being what God says here? I'm sorry? It's good for nothing. Yeah. The salt should just be what? Thrown out and trodden underfoot, right? No good. Unless it's an icy day. Then they're thankful that there's salt on the ground. But that's not what God's talking about here. Okay? This is salt that's used for flavoring things, for savoring meat. Okay? Kind of like preserving the meat and giving it some flavor at the same time. That's the word savor. That's what that means. Okay? That kind of salt is not what you put down on the ground to melt ice. That kind of salt has its own purpose. And if it's not holding up its purpose, it's good for nothing, okay? Or if we're not the salt, then what are we also not? Sorry?
We're not salt, we're not light either.
We're not the light either, okay? Another comparison would be if we're trying to be a light, but we're allowing everybody to beat us down to nothing, it's like we put that light underneath a bushel, right? We're not really trying to give any illuminance to anything around us. Yes, sir.
What does light do?
It dispels darkness.
If we aren't doing what we're supposed to do, if we're not prepared, then anything that people say around us, we cannot correct them wrong. We can't show them the right way to think about it.
That's right. That's right. Okay, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. So, guys, on question 3, that's not really numbered 3, okay? Make sure you're filling it in there. It'll help you maybe remember it later. Visual aid. Ephesians. Oh, comes before Philippians. I went too far. Ephesians chapter 5, 6 through 13. I'm sorry, 6. Yeah, Ephesians 5, 6 through 13. It's kind of a lengthy reading. Let's see. Mr. Williamson, would you read that? Are you there?
6 through 13?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world, in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light.
There we go. There's what Mr. Williamson just told us, that it disperses the darkness. It exposes the darkness, okay? We are to be the light, and the only way we can be the light is if we're ready to be the light. And the only way you can be ready to be the light is to study, okay? So there's some prep work there. Perhaps we as parents haven't put our kids through yet, and hopefully school hasn't started yet, so there's still time that we can help with that situation, okay? Because... And I'm trying to make this as relatable as possible because I know we have all facets of education in here that are about to happen. We have some college students. We have some high school students in through elementary and public school. We have some in private school, and we have some homeschooling, okay? But in all regards, my experiences and what I've learned is that no matter how hard you try to make yourself alone, you're not ever going to be by yourself, and so there's going to be someone around you that needs to know what the light is, okay? It's just going to happen that way. I know it. No matter what you do, if you try to just take your book and go sit in the corner in the classroom, it's not going to happen that way. You may succeed that, but you're going to still be around people, and they're still going to have an influence on you, and you can still have an influence on them. You can stay at home and you can be educated and learn some really good things at home, but I know that you're going to eventually wander outside, right, and be around other people, other potential homeschool kids, right? So it is going to happen. And the same, especially in the college world, where you have professors challenging you daily on morality and ethics and everything else because they just want to see some kids stumble. They just do, okay? I had a professor like that. All right. I think he still works at ASU, too. What's really weird is I liked him as a professor. I really liked him. He was very challenging. But he was very open about how he wanted to demoralize, you know, the moral. So we have to make sure that we're ready to be that shining light, okay? Next question is, what are you doing to prepare yourself to be that light?
Study the Bible.
Study the Bible. That's right.
Really? Just look at that list. All of that, most of it, maybe not the babysitting, could apply to our Christian walk in preparation.
Sure, sure. In preparing for your Christian walk.
Educating.
Just, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Change. Change all that to be more spiritual, right? Rather than secondary history or whatever, secular. That's what I was looking for, secular. Okay.
If we're willing to do all of that for the secular, how much more should we be doing that?
Very true. I like that. For those who may not have heard, if we're doing this type of prep work for the secular, how much more should we be doing for our spiritual life? Okay? Our spiritual education. Okay. I couldn't hear you.
It's really easy to follow nowadays because everything's accepted.
Oh, to follow like worldly stuff. I gotcha. Yeah. 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 For sure. For sure. Yes, ma'am. For sure. Who in here has been with a new convert, someone that has left the world of sin and darkness and obeyed the gospel probably the very next day? Who has seen that person? several probably have that are just unwilling to raise their hands but stare blankly at me because I asked a question. Okay? So, all right? That aura that they have compared to maybe the person that has been a 20-year veteran saved in Christ is sometimes drastically different, and it probably shouldn't be. Not probably, it shouldn't be. Okay? They are so happy that they don't have to worry anymore about these sins that they had been living in, these struggles, and they know that they have salvation, and it immediately, they usually immediately go to someone that's not in the church, perhaps someone, and they tell them, okay? They tell them immediately, okay? We see this in the book of Acts, in the history of the church all over. Paul's trying to persecute these, and these Jews are trying to persecute these Christians, and they're just spreading around, and they're teaching each other, okay? And I honestly would dare say, and this is my thought process only, that these are not pulpit educated preachers going out and talking to people as they're getting beaten by Paul and the Pharisees. Okay? Now you can run with that in a different direction if you want, but I would beg that you're wrong. Okay? Because preaching schools didn't exist. All right? They had other schools, apparently. They studied under Gamaliel, right? So these were just people excited to tell people about Christ. That's pretty cool. Okay? That's part of being the light. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. This one didn't make your questionnaire. All right? So you can jot that one down in the margins if you want. 1 Peter chapter 2. And just so you know, I had a cool whole history of what the education system began as in the world that if we have time, I'll share with you. But I wanted to make sure I got through this first, okay? I was going to use it as an intro, but I'd rather cover this stuff first, and then we can use it as a conclusion maybe. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Leon, do you mind reading that? You do mind? You don't mind. Okay, so you'll read it for me?
Yes.
Okay.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against.
Thank you. Keep going. Read verse 12. Sorry.
Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation.
All right. Thank you very much. And we'll read a little bit more there too, so stay there. But first, what do you see? What do you see about who we're supposed to be in verse 9? We're supposed to be just run-of-the-mill people? Chosen people, right? What else are we? A royal priesthood. In a time of kings and queens and dictators, being called royal is as high as you can get. Okay? A royal priesthood. What else? A holy nation. What else?
Holy Spirit.
I'm sorry? What'd you say? Yeah. Yeah. And then what did you say?
Peculiar.
A peculiar people. What does peculiar mean? One of my kiddos.
Different.
Well, you're right. You're right. Young at heart. Okay. Means different. What else can it mean, Leon? Okay, very good.
Yeah, the idea is one that's possessed or one's own property. So
yeah.
Takes on the idea of ownership.
Yep, a particular people, right? Particular. Yes, ma'am.
And I've used this. Sorry, James says his own special people,
his own special people. Very good, okay? This does not mean strange, weird, okay? We will be seen as strange and weird because we're not joining in with some of the things that are seen as normal. But it means particular, stand out, okay? We are supposed to stand out. We aren't supposed to hide in the corners. We're not supposed to stay to ourselves. It's not supposed to happen that way. What would a priest, what was the whole reason to have a priest? For the people, to offer sacrifices for the people. You had to be with the people in order to give the sacrifice for the people. Okay? So when we're preparing for our schooling, we need to be preparing to be amongst people. All right? To be the peculiar, the particular, the own, the holy holy nation, the royal priesthood. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
As you're saying that, it makes me think of how we teach our kids sometime about Daniel and how he purposed in his heart not to defile himself when he was young. We teach our kids what the right thing to do is, but do we teach them how to handle the pushback of doing the right thing? Unless you're going to pre-K or kindergarten, you're not new to school. Every year is pretty much the same. You're going to know what you're going to have to deal with, the environment you're going to put in. But have we taught the kids how to purpose in their heart when doing the right thing gets a negative response?
I don't know the answer to that. I agree with you. I agree that we need to ask ourselves those questions. I think that's what you're doing. But I don't know the answer if anyone has prepared their kids at all. Besides my own, I can talk about what we do in our house because I'm part of that.
One of the challenges to being a parent, which I found to be fun, not hiding them from the world.
Yeah.
This weekend, Danielle went to the lake with some of her softball friends. You know, she's graduated. Mm-hmm. It's kind of her last hurrah. But she came to us and said, where is that congregation in Burnet, Texas?
It's in Johnson City, actually.
No. But point being is she says, I have two of my friends going to church with me Sunday morning. We're not going to miss church.
No. Yeah, good.
And then she said this. She said, I told them they couldn't wear their skimpy dresses. They'd be better off wearing jeans. And so I checked on her today. But we worked through those strategies.
Yep.
And I bet you those friends who know Danielle's fixing to move off are starting to recognize that friend's moving away.
Yeah.
Because they haven't come to here to this church very often.
Right.
But they went to that particular congregation. So that was a strategy. I said, use that strategy.
It's great, yeah.
So
that's right, yeah. We have to be the example also. All right, let's continue in verse 12. I mean, we already read it, but let's. Verse 12 actually talks about that strategy of maybe fighting against those trying to hurt us, right? It says to make sure what? That your conversation and your conduct is what? Not everybody at once. Yes, ma'am.
Honorable.
Honorable. The King James says what?
Honest.
Okay. Why? So that when people bring stuff against you, they really just make themselves look dumb. That's summarized. That's not how God had Peter write it down there. But that's what it is, right? How foolish did the Jews look to Pilate when they brought Jesus to him, right? He's like, whoa. This guy's innocent. What are y'all doing? You know? He even questioned them. But they didn't see themselves as looking foolish. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right? Let's keep going. 13 through... Whew, you go through the end of the chapter, really. And we have time for that. I'll read this one just to give y'all a break from reading. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. Okay? Or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Okay, those are the situations why you're obeying the king or the governor is because there is when they're coming to punish the evil and reward the good, right? What about when the king is coming to punish the good and reward the evil? Are we supposed to obey then? Jesus did, right? Jesus let them just beat them to death. Okay? But at the same time, what about when they say, don't gather and worship God anymore? Acts 5:29, what does it say? I ought to obey God rather than men. Who said that? Peter? I think it was Peter. I think the first 12 chapters are primarily about Peter's missionary journeys. First 10 chapters. Yeah. Okay? So, know the difference, kids. When to obey and when not to obey. Okay? If it's a direct conflict with God's word, direct conflict, not just punishing good because they just want to punish good people. I'm saying they're trying to abstain your worship and obedience to God. Then what do? You obey God. Okay? Acts 5:29. That's what you said, right? Yeah.
When something practical, when you're talking about going to back to school and all that kind of stuff, for, you know, obviously this is to adults. You know,
mm-hmm.
He's writing to adults.
Yep.
But even for kids, something that's practical, you just obey the rules.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, just obey the rules.
When your friends are wanting you to do certain things that you know are against the rules, just don't do it.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, that peer pressure is mighty tasty, though. But you're right. Just don't do the bad things, okay? All right, so verse 16. Oh, no, 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put into silence the ignorance of foolish men. Right there. By your good deeds, Luke, you're making other people look foolish. All right? That's what he's saying there. You obey the rules. You obey those that are in command. You stay honest. You let your conduct and your conversation be honorable or honest. You're going to just make people look like fools. Okay? Don't be the fool yourself. Make them look like a fool. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness or wickedness, but as the servants of God. Okay, don't do it to puff yourself up. In other words, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters. Okay, and we'll stop there. But there's a lot more in there about how to conduct yourself. Okay, so that you can combat the evil there. All right. All right. So, how do we protect ourselves at school? Okay. What has God given us to protect us from spiritual harm? Would be the last question there for those that are wanting to write it in. Man, it's like you have my notes. Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Okay. Sorry, 6. It is a 6. Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 20. Okay? One of the things you really need to prepare for, kids, is learning how to read your own handwriting. Okay? Because when you are giving a lesson and you're nervous and your hands are sweaty and you're trying not to, like, have the pit stains that go down to your hip bones, you write a lot of stuff down so you don't have to remember quite as much. But if you can't read it, it's pretty worthless. All right? It's pretty worthless. Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 20. I'm going to ask Kipton if he would read that, please.
Ephesians 6, 13 through 20 says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and have done all to stand. Stand therefore, have girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fury of the darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and the Spirit being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador.
All right, thank you. 19 and 20 is more about a prayer towards Paul there, but it is part of that sentence, so I wanted to complete the sentence there. But we see, and if you're looking at the back of your page, I believe there's a man. There he is, a man there. Kiddos, you can fill in all of that armor that we just read about, okay? You read it all in there, all right? All these things are important, okay? You're protecting your waist, right? Your loins, the things that are basically belly button and below, okay? You're protecting your feet, you're sharding your feet. Why? Because a soldier back then, a lot of them didn't have suits of armor from head to toe. That was slow and bulky. The British did that. You know, it's kind of weird that the British did that because it's slow and bulky. But I guess if you want to just be a sledgehammer and don't care if you're slow and bulky, you're kind of like a Rocky Balboa in the Rocky Balboa movie where he's just, you got to make every hit count because you're not going to get many of them. You got, you're old, you're slow, all that stuff. Just be really strong. Okay, maybe that's the thought process the British had. I don't know. But Israelite nation, they're normally wearing tunics. They were down towards their legs. They'd pull them up. They put them in the waistband. They'd have something here to protect that the vital organs of your intestines and things, right? Then they had a breastplate, but it just left their feet wide open, right? Okay? Barney Fife almost always shot himself in the foot, right? That's why he had to carry his bullet in his pocket. Well, instead of carrying their sword, you know, not ready, they shod their feet. That way, if they dropped the sword, it hit the protection, okay? Then they have their breastplate, right? The shield of faith, okay? A lot of arrows shot back in the day by the devil. He's still shooting them today. You need to have your shield. And then, of course, your offensive weapon. Was the offensive weapon of choice by God a bow and arrow? I'm sorry?
Sword.
It was a sword. Sorry, man, I'm having a really hard time hearing you today. It was a sword. Guess what you have to do when you have a sword and you're fighting somebody? You have to be in their face, okay? So if you're going to be the light of the world, are you just shooting darts out there, phew, you know, hoping that someone meets God? No, you got to be in their face. It's a close-range weapon, all right? So something to think about. Why did God put this in here? Why did he put that in this place, this armor? I'll tell you in a second. Also remember to pray, okay? That's at the very end of that, all that armor about it. Pray with all perseverance, okay? And supplication, all right? So let's turn over to 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. In Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. What do you mean, if we suffer? Okay, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we're moving kind of fast. I got 5 minutes left. What do you mean, if you suffer? Matthew 16, verse 24. And it reads, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Is this a literal cross that is on the ground waiting for each one of us to put it on our shoulders and start carrying it? No. Good. Good. No is the answer. All right? This is a symbolism. This is a metaphor. This is one of those English terms that I didn't want to learn. Okay? My vocabulary is bad. It's a symbol of something else. Okay? Of the persecution. All right? Are you sure, Chad? Yes. Let's look over one chapter over. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Oh, that's the wrong verse.
Oh, no.
I said that with such confidence, too. It was beautiful. That is not it. I wonder if it's supposed to be Mark. No, I can read it this time. It's just I wrote it down wrong. I'm sorry?
I said 2 Timothy 3:12 is,
yeah,
all will live godly and in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Yes. 2 Timothy 3:12. All right. Did I not read that earlier? Oh, I did. I didn't get that one. 2 Timothy 3:12. I have that one written down too, believe it or not. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There it is. Okay. That's how we know that we're going to suffer. Okay. Sorry, kiddos. Sorry, young adults. Sorry, old adults that may not have realized this yet, but we're going to suffer. Going to suffer. It's going to happen. Bad things are going to happen to good people, and you're sometimes going to be that good people. What are you going to do about it? That's the real question. Okay? That's all I really have prepared, but just as I wanted to do at the beginning but didn't, but I did talk about a little bit, here's a little history of what the education system started with, all right? The earliest form of American education started in actually the 1830s through the 1880s, and it was the first time that someone had ever proposed a tax on the people to support educators and it was pioneered by a man named Horace Mann, okay, in the 1830s. And basically, schools focused on literacy, arithmetic, and civic duty. And that was it. That's all you're educated on. I bet you it was a really short class, and they all went back to working, right? In fields, if it was southern United States, wherever they may, you know, holding up newspapers, if they were like what you see in TV shows, okay? And then in the 1890s through the 1940s, the late 19th and early 20th centuries saw mandatory attendance laws put in place then. Okay, so now not only is it being taxed on the people to support educators, well, people still weren't sending their kids to school and they're getting taxed for it. So now it's like, you know what, if we're going to take the money from the people, you got to get your kids there. All right? And that's where we started seeing standardized grade levels. First, second, third, fourth, fifth grade, where you had to progress through education, all right? And then that it was still focused on arithmetic, English, writing, those types of things. And the reason being, if you think about why do we need to learn those things? Got about 35 seconds. Because you use those things, okay? You use those things. Now, was it full of the underwater basket weaving type classes, the theater arts, the band, the football? The reason for school was so that you could function as a human adult and go earn a living and be a productive citizen. Okay? We have morphed it into something ridiculous. That's why so many people perhaps are choosing to go homeschool over that, even though they're still being taxed for public school, right? But it's worth it in some people's minds, and that's fine. Okay? It's fine. But what's crazy is we have morphed it from what it originally was supposed to be to what it is today, and it's silly. We can't even discipline kids. My mom, when she retired from teaching, she couldn't discipline the kid that was acting amok in the classroom. She had to dismiss the whole class and have the principal come down to the classroom. So the good kids were put out in the hallway because someone else couldn't behave. Mind-blowing. Dripping Springs. That's where that was, in case you want to know. Okay? It's crazy. It is nuts. And then, of course, in the 1950s, we had desegregation, modern reform to what we are today. So, anyways, because the earliest schooling before we started taxing people was really just for the privileged, regardless of races, for the privileged. Okay? So, that's all I have. I believe we have a closing prayer by Dietrich, and then we'll be dismissed.